This week, as many of you know, the Wellington coastline was hit by a very powerful storm. Some 6 meter waves on a very high tide came crashing into some of the coastal houses, damaging some and causing some families to need to evacuate. That storm, as powerful as it was, is quite minor, really, compared to the storm that we're facing with COVID and the way that that is crashing upon our lives. The theologian David Ford called this multiple overwhelmings. And in a sense, one thing that might overwhelm us would be bad enough, but here we have more and more of these crashing against us, things that are very difficult to cope with our finances, with our health, with the lockdown, with the spread of disease, sadly, the rising death toll, the loss of employment or business. This is one of the biggest storms to hit humanity, certainly in this generation. And when we think of this storm that is assailing us, then we might be asking the question, is Jesus, in whom we put our faith, able to really help us when things are so bad? Those who have been part of Greyfriars for some time will remember that Greyfriars is a Christ-centered church. We build our foundation upon Christ. And I wonder what that means to you and why you find this helpful to be a part of a church that is Christ-centered, and in your own life to have a Christ-centered life. And when we think of that again, is that foundation in Christ, is that Christ-centeredness enough to hold us firm in such a difficult time? Well, the writer of Hebrews, in the first few verses that we read this morning, says some things that help us to understand why Christ can be trusted. In the original, this is simply one flowing, sweeping sentence that brings together some very profound ideas. We find here seven affirmations of Jesus' status, and each phrase is worth its weight in gold. Each phrase is like a diamond being turned and seeing it. And so we read of Jesus being God's appointed heir, that Jesus is God's agent of creation, the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of God's being, the one who sustains all things, the one who purifies sin, the one who is at the right-hand side of God. And each of these added together, multiplied together, adds weight to our understanding of the preeminence of Jesus. In Hebrews, at the beginning of this letter, we find that the writer is linking the past with the present that he was writing in. So the things of the Old Testament, he was saying, find their fulfillment in Christ. One of the scholars I was looking at said the older revelation was expansive but incomplete. Prophets were many, but the Son is one. And what is revealed now is not mere words or simply a message, but God Himself come among us. And we find this as we read in the beginning of John's Gospel, where it speaks of God becoming flesh. And so John then says, we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. And so we find that God Himself is revealed in His Son, Jesus. We also find this supremacy in Paul's writings, And we'll remember that Paul had the initial Damascus Road experience where he saw Jesus in some of his glory. And so writing to the Christians at Colossae, he said, "The Son is the image of the invisible God. For in him all things were created. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him." And so Paul knew from his own experience of Jesus that God was present in Jesus and was the fullness and fulfillment of all that we find in the Old Testament. On Good Friday, we looked at the Gospels and we found many witnesses to Jesus' identity. The angel at his birth, the voice of God at Jesus' baptism, and then later in the story towards the Easter time, the high priest and those who put Jesus on trial, and the voice of Pilate, and the voice of the centurion at the foot of the cross, each of these in their own way, pointing to the reality that Jesus is the Son of God. And whether they were speaking from belief or from disdain, they were still focusing on this same thing, that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. So consider the weight of all that, the weight of all that is said in the Gospels, the weight of all that is said in the theology of Paul and John and the writer of the Hebrews, in those seven phrases that we looked at about Jesus, and you see that each of these is adding to the reality that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is greater than all these things, greater than any prophet, greater than any king, greater than any angel, greater than Moses, greater than the law, greater than the temple with its sacrificial processes. Jesus is the only one who is able to keep all the promises and fulfill what God has said. He alone is the foundation of our faith, and we do not need to have any doubt about his ability to be able to carry us through the storms that we're facing at this time. God inspired Paul, who wrote, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes in Christ." And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. So in this we find God keeps his promises, and he keeps his promises in and through Jesus Christ. Jesus is for us the promised keeper. So what difference does this make to us? We're all human. We all have our moments of doubt. We can all feel overwhelmed, and certainly at this time when there is so much crashing against our lives. Today we see worldwide suffering from disease, healthcare around the world under strain, people dying, families mourning, financial markets in disarray, people losing their jobs. But keep reading in Hebrews, and then we find it says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." Jesus is for us this hope, this strong anchor, firm and secure for us, whatever storms in life we might be facing. The simple truth is this: Jesus is who he says he is. He is God come among us. He can be trusted. He is a firm, secure anchor and foundation for us. He can and he will be with you and I through this storm and any others that may come. Therefore, take courage and find your faith strengthened and your hope even more secure. For Jesus is God who says, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen.